Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome along to the La Liga Lowdown podcast. My name is Ruairi Barlow. I'm joined by Román de Arquer. We've got a good show coming up for you. We're going to be discussing the Copa del Rey and the lack of shocks, it has to be said. And we're going to be discussing this upcoming Spanish Supercopa as well. And there was a much-awaited debut for Real Madrid as well. But first of all, Román, Happy New Year. This is your first appearance of 2024. How are you doing? And did you have a good festive period?
Happy New Year to you and to all our listeners. Definitely enjoyed some time off to rest a bit, but now back in business. And I thought I really did miss football until I saw Barca play this Copa del Rey game and the one they played before in La Liga, which haven't been as good as I'd hoped after that little break.
Yes, it made you realise that your appetite wasn't quite what
exactly.
It was. I'll just run through quickly the Copa del Rey results from the round of 32 before we kind of get going. Lugo were beaten by Atletico Madrid 3-1. Memphis Depay with a brace after Lugo had equalised. Getafe beat Espanyol, both those games on Friday night. Girona beat Elche 2-0. Rayo Vallecano 2, Huesca 0. Alaves beat Betis in what perhaps going to be the shock of the round, although there is one more potentially to come. Arandina were put out by Real Madrid. Brahim Diaz scoring, assisting, and winning the penalty for Joselu in that victory. Celta Vigo beat Amorebieta 4-2 in a much-needed victory. Mallorca beat Burgos 3-0. Sevilla beat Racing Ferrol 2-1 in extremis. Osasuna beat Castellón 1-0 after extra time. Villarreal Unionistas de Salamanca has been suspended because the lights were out, and Salamanca weren't particularly happy about that. They felt that there was enough light for them to continue playing, but that will have to be rearranged. Valencia beat Cartagena after extra time. Gaya with the winner there. Athletic beat Eibar 3-0. Barcelona really made life difficult for themselves against Barbastro, winning 3-2 eventually. I mean, Fermin Lopez, Rafinha and Lewandowski scored, but they conceded to have one goal in it for about the last half hour. And Real Sociedad also beat Malaga away from home at La Rosaleda 1-0 with an own goal. Tenerife are the kind of shock of the round if this does come off. They're 2-0 up on Las Palmas as we speak. It's the final game of the round and it finishes about midnight. But yeah, in the Canary Islands derby, that could be a bit of a shock there. But yeah, Román, I don't know if you have much to pick out from that, but it has to be said, over this round, we're looking at a round of 16 after this game where it's all going to be La Liga sides unless Tenerife can get the job done.
Yeah, as you mentioned, maybe a lack of shocks, we could say, so far this season in the Copa del Rey. I mean, there have been some tough games, for example, for Osasuna, who had to go deep into extra time to get past Castellón and win 1-0. Sevilla did suffer a bit in that game against Racing Ferrol. Even Celta de Vigo, who ended up winning 4-2, were 2-1 down at a certain stage of that game. So, I mean, we could also mention, of course, the Barça-Barbastro game, which wasn't an easy one in the end for Barça. I mean, all these games, there were certain moments where the weaker sides did, you know, have their opportunities and look a bit stronger. And, I mean, it could have gone both ways. But in the end, I guess the experience and the quality of the teams from higher divisions managed to pull through. And as you said, we have to wait and see what happens with Las Palmas Tenerife, where Tenerife are 2-0 up. But I mean, yeah, not too many surprises, and at the moment the stronger sides are pulling through to the next rounds.
And just kind of on that shock, I mean, we know the format has been changed to ensure that the bigger sides are kind of seeded through. The Supercoppa teams didn't join until this round. They play away from home at the kind of smaller sides, the Regional, the Primera Ref sides. So they do get kind of a little bit of magic. I mean, Arandina and Barbastro, they will get unforgettable experiences from this, and they will get a bit of a payday because they'll fill out their stadiums, and everyone will kind of come down to see Real Madrid. The players get the shirts. Everyone's kind of happy with this format, but from a neutral perspective, does it kind of lose a bit of the magic? Or am I being kind of taking too many conclusions off a small sample size, Roman?
Well, I mean, personally, I like this new format. I think it's much more dynamic. It tended to be quite boring to see, you know, two-leg games against weaker sides because mostly there weren't any shocks. And if there was shock in one of the two games, in the other game, the big team had usually the opportunity to turn it around, and it tended to happen. And it's true that this season we haven't seen too many shocks, the biggest one maybe being Cádiz getting knocked out against Arandina in the previous round, something like that. I'm not sure if I'm missing another one. But yeah, it hasn't been surprising. Last season, if I don't remember badly, there weren't too many either. But I mean, in previous seasons, I mean, it hasn't been going on for too long, but I think the first season, for example, it took place with this new format. There were some nice surprises, and I mean, playing at home against a big team, you said it, is not just an opportunity for the clubs to have the fans enjoy a great game, but I mean, it's also a good chance for them to get a win. I mean, it's tough playing in some of these stadiums where the field or the pitch isn't maybe in excellent conditions. But I saw the Barca game just now. It's a good example where the ball was bouncing quite a lot. You could tell that it wasn't maybe as easy for them to play. And in the end, you know, Barbastro were there and they could have easily got an equalizer, the 2-2 result, and who knows what would have happened. And as I said before, other games also were quite close and could have gone either way, but in the end this season it didn't happen for the weaker sides. But I think in the future we will see more shocks and we will see more exciting moments. And I personally like so far how the Copa del Rey has been reconfigured.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think it's definitely better than the two-legged ties that we had before, because the ability for the smaller sides to sustain a shock over two legs is very, very low. But yeah, it would be nice just to kind of feel like there's more of an opportunity, because I feel like you get less of those runs where the likes of kind of Rayo or Mirandés could kind of draw their way through to the semi-finals or the quarter-finals. You had a few more ties getting to those later rounds, but yeah, it's definitely an improvement on a previous one. And given the kind of financial side of it, given the way it is, it just seems like it's here to stay, and it satisfies enough people and enough people in power, especially, to ensure that it will stay. One of the shocks, it was a first division tie against two first division teams kind of going off against each other, but Alavés beating Betis 1-0, Christian Benavide with the singular goal in that match, and a really scrappy goal, it has to be said as well. It comes after Betis have just been beaten 2-1 by Celta in La Liga. Bit of a sloppy start to the year for Manuel Pellegrini's side, and yeah, not exactly what they wanted, but yeah, is there maybe a silver lining for Betis here, given how short their squad is, given that they've such a thin defence that they can now focus on Europe and La Liga?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been an easy season for Betis, I think, at the moment. I mean, they've had better moments, ups and downs, we could say, but in the end, you know, they have been struggling for me, and this game against Alaves is a bit of a reflection of that, that the team maybe is missing some players. We know that important players did leave. There have been injuries this season, Fekir, of course, being one of the most relevant ones, and I mean, I guess Pellegrini probably didn't get the full squad he would have liked to start the season off. But still, somehow they're pulling through, because taking into account that in La Liga, for example, they've drawn four games and lost one in the last five, and they're still, you know, in seventh position, I think it is, in the standings. I mean, it takes credit to see that they have had good moments, but now they're not going through a good patch. You know, they're struggling a bit, and I mean, I don't know if this season is going to end up being a bit of a drag for them, or if they're going to be capable of reacting. That's the big question here. So we have to see what Pellegrini is capable of, if the players really have it in them to keep fighting. It's true that they're going to get rid of a competition which they usually want to fight for, but at least they can focus, I guess, as you said, more on European competitions and more on La Liga, where they obviously want to aspire to qualify for Europe. So we'll have to see how this ends up going for them.
Yeah, there's a few teams that perhaps in that kind of middle to upper section of La Liga who are kind of pushing for Europe, and that Copa del Rey kind of always comes as sometimes a welcome distraction because it can really get you quite far. You look at Osasuna, who ended up kind of qualifying but had kind of a really great run. But yeah, the likes of Betis and Real Sociedad, who are pretty thin now, especially with the likes of Sadiq and Takekubo going away for Real Sociedad, their squads are going to be really tested over the month of January and February as Europe comes back as well. Just before we kind of wrap up the first half of the show, the second half we're going to kind of dedicate mostly to the Copa del Rey, the Spanish Supercopa, which will be played in Saudi Arabia, semi-finals in midweek on Wednesday and Thursday. But Arda Güler finally made his debut for Real Madrid. It's been much awaited. He played an hour against Arandina and he was pretty good. He hit the woodwork with a free kick. He created a good few chances and was probably one of the brighter sparks for them. I think he's an interesting one because Real Madrid have been putting up highlights of his training sessions all season whenever he's been fit, and he has been doing some pretty remarkable stuff, but there's been a lot of kind of pressure on him. And if I was Ancelotti, and I can see Ancelotti doing so, depending on just how good Güler has been, is or will be, I can see him kind of easing him in very, very gently, can't you?
Yeah, definitely. I think we saw that in that game. He has a lot of quality, of course. He wasn't playing one of the tougher opponents he will face during the season. We'll still have to see how he can perform at the highest level, but he definitely gave some really good moments for Real Madrid. You can tell there's a lot of quality there. There's talent, and I mean, we'll have to see if Ancelotti really finds a spot for him to have enough minutes, because I mean, a player of his age does need to play in the end, you know. And the big question is whether he'll find, as you said, a way to get him into the squad and give him minutes, or whether at the end of the season they'll realize that maybe they have to loan him out or something like that for him to actually have a good opportunity of developing. Because as we said, players at such a young age, for me, need the minutes, you know. They can't just stay sitting down the bench like Pablo Torre last season with Barca, you know. He wasn't playing at all, and for me that was kind of disappointing, not even with the B team, which I thought would be probably beneficial for him. So I mean, we'll have to keep an eye out for Güler, because there's definitely quality there. Barca were also trying to get him, and back in the days, and even I remember some reports saying it was practically a done deal, and in the end he went to Real Madrid and now he's got to prove himself there.
Yeah, I feel Barcelona might regret not getting that one over the line, down the line. And yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Rodrigo and Vinicius are obviously favourites to occupy those top two spots in the kind of side, and then Bellingham is always going to play as kind of the third force in that front line. Then you've got Joselu Mato and obviously Brahim Diaz competing as well. I mentioned Brahim at the top of the show. It's interesting, at the start of the season, I remember covering kind of rumours that Real Madrid or Brahim might be kind of loaned out or moved on pretty swiftly because Arda Güler was there and he was going to kind of take up his minutes and stuff. But Brahim, over the last couple of months, in 8 starts, he has 7 goal contributions, 4 goals and 3 assists. He's been a kind of surprising boost, I think, for this Real Madrid side after a really kind of slow start, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's been the talent we thought he could be. We saw him in Italy, we've seen him in other inferior categories with the national team in Spain, and he's always shown plenty of good stuff and seemed like a player that could really be maybe a superstar at some point. We'll see if that actually ends up happening. But he definitely has a lot of quality, and he's now proving at Real Madrid. Ancelotti's giving him that confidence he needed. And he's definitely going to be helpful for them for the rest of the season. And he's going to keep coming out from the bench or even starting in certain games and providing. I think he's a great player to have as an alternative, you know, for certain games.
Yes, and we'll see what kind of impact he has in the Spanish Supercopa, which we will discuss in the second half of the show. We'll be back in just a moment, so don't go anywhere.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome back to part two of the La Liga Lowdown Show. My name is Rory Barlow. I'm joined by Roman de Arquer. The big talking point this week, I mean, we've got a Basque derby coming up as well at the weekend. It's going to be very kind of confusing to shift gears. But on Wednesday, there is a Madrid derby. Atletico face Real Madrid in the Wednesday night game. Osasuna will take on Barcelona in the Thursday night game, the two semi-finals and the final to be played on Sunday. Atleti, it has to be said, not coming into this great game in kind of great shakes. I mean, they struggled a little bit against Lugo. We saw them kind of really taken apart by Girona in that first half. And even in that second, Girona still had access to their goal, even as good as Morata was. And it's their away form that's been the issue. I mean, four straight away defeats for the first time in Simeone's era. I think Matt Clark mentioned that on the Sunday night. Do we count this as kind of an away game, or it's a neutral ground, it's going to be against Real Madrid, but they're going to have to show a little bit more solidity against this Real Madrid side, aren't they, Roman?
Yeah, for their own sake, they need this to not feel like an away game somehow, because if not, perspective or hopes aren't going to be up, because as you said, they haven't been doing well away from home. It's something they've really been struggling with so far this season. Thankfully, at home, they're doing a good job, because that's what's keeping them up, basically, in that fight, we could say, or at the top part of the standings. And, I mean, they're going to face Real Madrid, which for me are kind of the same as they always are. You know, a team that doesn't play stunning, incredible football, but still gets results, and they have the players to do so. And even if they're having a bad day in the Supercopa, they can just get Lucas Vazquez to score a header in the 90th minute, you know, so... Atletico are going to have to be really inspired, play at their best. I mean, they have the quality, they have the players. If they can play like they have in most games, and especially in home games, I mean, they'll definitely put up a fight against Real Madrid, and anything can happen there, you know. And I think being a one-legged match in a neutral ground, it opens that possibility of making it more unpredictable than ever. But Real Madrid are always a tough team. They're getting the results, as I said. They have the confidence, they have the players, and they have the experience in the manager, so we'll have to see how Atletico or how Cholo Simeone is capable of planning out this one and reacting to whatever Madrid propose.
Yeah, does Cholo need to tweak it? Because, I mean, I remember watching kind of this Atleti side down the stretch last season. There was no pressure on them, but they were winning a lot of games, and they were defending pretty well during that stretch. And this season, they've been playing really good football. They've been scoring a lot of goals. I think it's 23 goals in 10 games at home. It's about 16 or 17 in 9 away from home, which kind of, that's kind of an insight into, they've still been kind of conceding goals at home, but they've been outscoring their opponents. We tend to say that defences kind of win leagues or win tournaments. Cholo is famed for his defence. If he's not getting the kind of defence that he needs out of this, is it worth him kind of tweaking things? Does he need to change again, or is it kind of stick to it and kind of improve their system?
I think they have to stick to it. I mean, at this point, changing things, I think, is too risky. Clearly, they don't have the defense. They've had other seasons, so they're not as reliable in that aspect as they have been. And on the other hand, as you said, attacking has been working for them. They're scoring goals. They have they're playing well. I mean, there's games where you watch Atletico, and it's very entertaining to see them play because they generate a lot in attack. They go forward without being afraid, you know, of taking certain risks, and they have the players in the end to finish. If Morata's inspired, has a good day, he can score a hat-trick like the other day. Griezmann, obviously, still being one of the best players in La Liga this season, like last year. And, I mean, plenty of other players that can provide up there. So, I mean, they have to do their thing. They have to obviously try and be more solid at the back. I guess maybe try and control specific players, like maybe Bellingham, Rodrigo, Vinicius, the typical ones that can do more damage somehow. Try and target them and focus on not allowing them, you know, to have that freedom on the pitch and do their thing. So, I mean, in that sense, maybe Cholo has to work out some defensive tactics. But, I mean, they have to believe in what they're doing, keep improving there. And I think that's what's going to work best for them. And I'm sure they're going to have put up a good fight against Madrid.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. Speaking of defence, Ferland Mendy is set to be back for this game. Lucas Vazquez will be out for the Supercopa, but obviously Carvajal returned. I mean, Vinicius Jr. returned as well. Eduardo Camavinga made his return against Arandina for Real Madrid. They're getting a few players back, and the selection headaches will begin again for Real Madrid. But it's a very different Real Madrid to the side that were beaten 3-1 against Atleti in that first league game. I mean, that game you had the likes of Luka Modric kind of playing off the front, and then Hoslu kind of came on towards the end. Modric was hooked at half-time. Ancelotti the other day, it was interesting, he was saying that that game in the Metropolitano was an eye-opener for them, and said that we worked out that we were really poor defending crosses, so we kind of deepened our central defenders by a couple of metres when the crosses are coming in. We made that kind of adjustment, and it has worked wonders for them, despite the fact that they've not had solidity in goal, if they've not had kind of continuity from their back line. This Real Madrid side, I mean, they have a lot more weapons. I guess for me, the thing is, Vinicius, Rodrigo has been in form, Bellingham has been in form, but playing a lot. It's only really Rust that I can see kind of getting in the way of this Real Madrid side, because they are just finding a way to win games every single time at the minute.
They are, and it's something that's always been on their side. Historically in football, they always find ways, even if you're playing really well against them, you know, they can knock you down at any moment without you expecting it. And as you said, this season, one of the key changes has been the defensive aspect, where they've really been solid. They've only conceded 11 goals in La Liga this season, the best team by far, and at the back they're tough to beat, you know. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Atletico score goals. It's a game where I see both teams, you know, having their opportunities, and being a derby also, it always gives it that extra unpredictableness, we could say. So in the end, these games, sometimes planning them obviously helps, but anything can really happen. And if you go to extra time, it really completely changes what you've been thinking or planning all the way through. And obviously, the physical aspect has an impact. Players are more tired, make more mistakes. So, I mean, we'll have to see how this develops. Hopefully, it's not a like one-way game for any side where one scores 3-0 and then it's all over. I think it'll be a fight right until the very end.
And coming on to that second tie, we'll start with Osasuna, who were really kind of solid and predictable for the last couple of seasons. You kind of knew what you were getting from them, and they're not doing too badly this season in La Liga. I mean, they're still kind of very much where they want to be, in 12th place. They're a good 7 points off the relegation zone. They're about 10 points off the European places, but six should the Copa del Rey winner be in the European places. So they're kind of in and about it. They are where they are, but there's not quite that same sense of solidity for me with this Osasuna side. And you saw that kind of in the Copa del Rey. They really struggled to break down that Castellón side, although they did hit the post quite a few times. Against Almeria, kind of when they came back for La Liga, again, 1-0 win, but not the most convincing. Before the Christmas break, they were beaten 3-2 by Real Mallorca. This Osasuna side it seems the opposite of Real Madrid to be incapable of defending crosses right now. And yeah, Yago Barrasate still doing a good job, but perhaps not as reliable as we think of this as the Osasuna side.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of felt it wouldn't be easy for them to maybe keep up the level they'd shown in past seasons, because, I mean, Osasuna had overperformed, we could say. For many of us, they'd been doing incredibly well, shocking us, and of course in the Copa del Rey doing having such a good run. And keeping that level season after season is never easy, you know. And it also felt like not qualifying for Europe this season, getting knocked out, maybe kind of affected the players in a way, because it felt like all the hard work they've been putting these last few seasons in the end maybe wasn't for nothing. Now, obviously not for nothing, but kind of feels like something's missing there, you know. And maybe that somehow wasn't a great way to start the season and could have maybe had a certain impact in the motivation of the players this season, I don't know. Something that the manager definitely will know better than us. And on the other hand, as again, Osasuna are going to put up a fight. You know, they're this team that, despite maybe not being at their best against Barca in a one-legged game, they're going to be very rocky at the back, I feel. They're going to have their counterattacks. We know that Barca is very vulnerable. In fact, today with the Barbastro match, it's been 20 games where Barca have only won by one goal, which is pretty impressive. So I mean, Barca never win easy anyway, so Osasuna are gonna get a shot there. They also had a pretty tough game in La Liga this season, Barca against Osasuna, where they won 2-1. There was a sending off right at the end and a penalty that gave Barca the 3 points, but that also could have gone anyway. So it's gonna be a very tight one, and I honestly don't expect too many goals, to be honest.
Just before we nip on to Barcelona, if there's one kind of area of this Osasuna team, or one player even for Osasuna, that can really cause Barcelona problems, what would you kind of put that down to? I mean, Aymar Aroz, Ante Budimir has been really scoring goals when he's had the chances. Where would you say they can threaten Barcelona?
Well, in terms of players, there hasn't been maybe been such a standout as there has been in other seasons. But of course, they have those kind of players that can always appear. Bully made his head. He's been doing pretty well for them in attack offensively. Chimi Avila, we all know that he's a very talented player in attack, and he can also provide a lot to the counter-attacks. Aymar Aroz has been proven to be a very important player for Osasuna in these last few seasons, coming out from the inferior categories. And, you know, also at the back, remember David García and Catena last season had phenomenal seasons with their clubs, and they looked like they could even maybe have their opportunities in the national team. In fact, David García did play for the Spanish side, but this season I guess they haven't found, you know, that reliability at the back, and they're not as strong as they used to be. But I think the key for Osasuna is closing down really well, really tight. That's what they tend to do positively in most games, and then from there on find the pace they have from players that can quickly build up those counters. And we know that Barca defensively is very vulnerable, and there are going to be spaces, there are going to be opportunities, even crosses can be a problem coming in towards Budimir. So I think there are different things they can exploit in this one.
And coming on to Barcelona, there is one element of their team that they did not have when they faced Osasuna last time, and that is Vitor Roque, or Roque as the Brazilians pronounce it, and we should probably too. He's had three very, very good chances, it has to be said, since he arrived. And I kind of liked the movement that I've seen. I mean, he looks quick, he looks quite agile and sharp at getting behind the defence. But if there's one thing that Barcelona need, regardless of kind of what comes before it, it is finishing. I mean, Lewandowski's not been great in front of goal lately, and Roque, it won't take long for this to start kind of weighing on his mind. But what have you kind of seen from him so far?
Well, to be honest, there's been a lot of hype regarding Vitor Roque here in Barcelona, like new Brazilian talent, etc. I haven't seen much. I've saw obviously highlights and stuff and certain moments of games, and honestly, I don't feel that same hype everybody does. I still think he has a lot to prove, and in these first two games, there hasn't been an opportunity to see too much, honestly. In the first game, he did come on. Second half, there were a lot of more spaces in that match, so I think Vitor came in a moment of the game where it was easier to, you know, find those movements you mentioned and find those spaces. And of course, he had those a couple of good opportunities in that one, and then in another one against Barbastro. And he did miss those opportunities, and a couple of those were pretty clear. So it isn't great, I guess, to come on board knowing that Barca is struggling to score, and then you're already involved in that problem. So, I mean, it's soon, obviously, to say or to have an opinion on whether Vitor Roque can be an important player for us. Hopefully he will be. He's found those positions, which, of course, is already a positive to be there. You need to find a way to get there and, of course, to in the end to score. And hopefully the goals will come sooner than later. But I'm hoping those misses don't affect him too much and he can get back to business, which is, of course, scoring goals for him.
Yeah, Xavi has been desperate to point out that he's just 18, he's just arriving, that we shouldn't pile the pressure on him too much. And he's quite right. But yeah, the more chances he gets and misses, he's almost better off. I mean, it's better for his game and it's better as kind of a show of his talent that he is getting those chances. But in terms of the pressure and the way that that will kind of build up, it would be almost better if he just didn't have the chance and yeah. didn't miss it. But of a catch-22, because obviously he needs those chances to score. In terms of Barcelona, I mean, how do you see them coming into this game? And you mentioned that stat about them not winning by more than one goal. You mentioned, I mean, we've discussed ad nauseum that whatever Xavi is seeking doesn't seem to be functioning against Las Palmas. It was almost balls over the top again and again and again, but he kind of mentioned they just couldn't execute them, and that was the frustration. Yeah, where do you see Barcelona coming into this and into the Supercopa overall?
I want to say they're going to come in like in the first half against Barbastro, and it's going to be a good performance and they're going to surprise us, but honestly, the second half kind of killed any hopes, you know, against Barbastro. Barca were again pretty poor, pretty dull, pretty lacking creativity. But the game against Las Palmas was the one that really disappointed, I think, many of us, where the team in the first half was absolutely disastrous. Second half, it's like the same movie clip again, where the Barca starts off poorly, the other team scores first, you're already one goal down, struggling, have to come back. You kind of react in the second half, look a bit better, but you're never fully convinced, you know? And this has been going on game after game, and this match against Barbastro was kind of the opposite. They did start off well, but then disconnected. So, I mean, it's hard to say. Honestly, expectations aren't too high. As I said before, I feel like Osasuna are going to have a good chance here of getting a good result and qualifying for the final. But I do believe that Barca obviously have the talent, have the quality, have the better players, and in the end, Xavi has always had a bit of a... of La Flor, we used to say that Zidane had, you know, winning games and having a bit of luck. I feel like Xavi does have a bit of that. And in the end, that's why he gets so many wins by one goal, you know, because Barca just kind of pull through. And I think Barca are also one of the teams that get more goals or positive results in the last from the 75th minute onward in matches. So, I mean, they tend to react towards the end. So, I mean, of course, I think Barca can make it and can win, but it won't be easy. And I'm not expecting them to come out and play incredible football, because the team has just been struggling too much. And I don't know, it's hard to say, it's hard to find an explanation or a reason or a way to fix this, you know.
And just as we wrap up, I mean, who would you kind of start in that front three? I mean, Rafinha seems to have his place assured. We assume Lewandowski is going to start as well. Ferran Torres scored against Las Palmas. I thought he moved pretty well, but João Félix has had kind of that position to almost lose throughout the season. Who would you go with in this match?
I mean, it's hard to say, because Lewandowski hasn't been good at all for a while now, but at the same time, I feel like he needs to start, because I think it's a bit too soon to start Vitor Roque, and you could put Ferran, as a false nine or a number nine. That would be a possibility, but I think Xavi is going to go for Lewandowski. That's why also he rested him at the beginning of the game against Barbastro. And Ferran Torres, you said, he's a guy who maybe struggles a bit towards goal, even though he has been scoring, to be honest. So, I mean, the thing is, he gets a lot of chances and he doesn't score many of those chances. But then his movements are usually really good. But Lewandowski isn't making any good of those movements either lately. So, I mean... the doubt is going to be whether he starts João Félix or he starts Ferran Torres, because I see Rafinha definitely being started on the right wing. And João Félix, there have been a lot of complaints, but again, for me, this season, he's been one of the most regular players for most part. It's true that lately he hasn't looked as good, But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Xavi in the end trusts him, because he's got quality and maybe something special or extra different that Ferran maybe doesn't have.
Yeah, I just think that with both Lewandowski and Felix in the side, you just cannot press, because, I mean, Lewandowski doesn't have the legs for it, I don't think, and Joao Felix doesn't have the attitude. True. I mean, it's so I think for Xavi, it's a choice between what kind of setup you go with and what kind of movement you
want.
But
then, honestly, Barca don't press very well. I mean, they press, no. They try and press, but their pressing is quite chaotic. So, I mean, even if they go for a more pressing system and wanted to recover the ball up high, I'm worried that that's going to turn into counterattacks, because sometimes that pressing is quite poor, to be honest.
Yes, no, I fully agree there. But I personally would probably have Ferran Torres in, and then Joao Felix as kind of a joker to kind of come in. but we'll wrap things up there, because we are running out of time again. There is that Basque derby there, and just to note on that, if Athletic Club were to win, they would remain in fourth. Real Sociedad would be 9 points behind them. And for context, in the 20th round last season, Real Sociedad were 10 points ahead of Athletic Club, and having beaten Athletic at the start of the year in 2023. So big, big game there at San Mamés. Really important one. Whichever way that goes is going to probably have a big impact on their positions at the end of the season. But Roman, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, as always. It was a pleasure. And as I said before, Happy New Year to everyone. And let's hope for a lot of great football.
We will be back on Thursday or Friday even, reviewing the Supercopa games and everything that happened in them. Thank you very much for joining us. Make sure you go and subscribe to our Substack if you do want to be part to listen to that Thursday recap. And also keep across all of our written work, which is coming out on the Substack too. Many thanks for joining us, and Feliz Año and Bon An as well. Have an excellent week. Adios.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.